Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. B'Shem Yahushua HaMashiach. Heavenly Father, Holy One of Israel, in the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, we give praise, glory, and honor to your holy and to your most precious name. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us this opportunity that you've given us, that we may come together in honor of your word, in observance of your command, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for blessing us with another day of life and giving us that chance to make it right with you, Heavenly Father, that we may better our relationship with you, Heavenly Father. We ask you on behalf of your Son to lead and guide each and every one of us by your Spirit, that we may do all and only those things that are pleasing in your sight, Heavenly Father. We ask you to strengthen us, that we may all continue in your word, that we may know your truth, that your truth may set us free. We humbly and sincerely ask these things, gracious and merciful Father, that your Spirit guide us, opening our understanding, that we too may behold wondrous truth from your Torah. In the name of your Son, Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King, we pray for comfort of those who are suffering physically, mentally, emotionally. We pray that you uplift their hearts and their minds, that they too may enjoy your presence on this day. In the name of your Son, Savior, Redeemer, soon coming King, we say hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh Almighty, when King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses HaTorah, Moshe, a servant, Yisrael, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shavah. All right, family, we're going to turn the service over to our brother so he can bring forth the word that Abba has placed on his heart. And as he gets settled, I just want to reiterate a question that was asked during last night's, how do we serve Yah? And I don't want people to lose sight of that, you know, because I believe what the brother's going to bring forth today ties into the message that the Most High brought forth last night. How do we serve Yah? And as was mentioned, we were unable to really get into a lot of the other details that are involved in serving the Creator, but hopefully we got one of the major points that the Creator wanted to bring forth, and serving Yah or working for Yah entails the cultivation of that soil, and hopefully everybody was able to pick up that in cultivating the soil, what that means, it's changing our mind, because that soil, it simply points to the way that we think, our perception, how we see things. In order for us to be in a right standing with the Most High, our minds have to change. Why is that so significant? Why is that so important? Well, that's the part of us that the Most High is saving. He's saving that spirit. He's not saving the flesh. The flesh is going to be renewed. It's going to be changed. It's going to be different. But that spirit, that's you, who you are, when you hear my voice, you hear my spirit. It's unique. It identifies me as being who the Creator made me to be. That's what the Creator's focal point is. He's going to give that spirit of life that simply is housed in the flesh eternal life. And he's going to allow it to live and reign with him as he is. As one of the prophets said, although you see the sons and the daughters of Yah, and they may not appear to be much, They may just appear to be mortal men like everybody else, but in actuality, and the reality of who they are won't be manifest until Mashiach Yahushua returns. That's what he is developing. That's what he is turning over when we get into that word. So hopefully, everybody take that with them, and as the brother brings forth his message today, which will be about self-reflection, hopefully we can all build upon that. And we can learn exactly what it is that Abba expects of each and every one of us. Because at the end of the day, one of the passages that says, he that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. It's fine, you know, you come together, you talk about that word, you quote different things here and there. But if you are not making that inward change, it's all worth nothing. All right, my brother, you ready? All right. Give us a second, fam. Brother will be with you momentarily. There you go. Okay.
Shabbat shalom, family. As the brother Yahiel was saying, today we're going to look at self-reflection. And what happened this week, real interesting week, you know, because coming off the feast days, everything was wonderful, you know. And, you know, Sunday was the last day of unleavened bread. And so I was enjoying myself, had a nice time, wonderful lesson from Shafut, brought forth some word. And the next day, I just didn't feel like going to work. So I called out. I feel like going to work today. Called out. And what I talked to one of the brothers, talked to Ahab, and what Yahweh was showing me this week is that we spend so much time doing stuff for other people and doing things in this world that you really don't take time for you. And sometimes you just got to shut it down and take some time for you. Because, you know, and it just so happens that this week, it's the story that I saw a while ago. I liked it. But while I was looking at my little Facebook stream, it popped up again. It's the story about the man with four wives. And it's an Asian story. And I guess it's because the first time I saw it, it was illustrated and narrated, and the Asian guy was doing it. And this time when I saw it, it was just narrated, but an Asian guy was doing it. So I'm guessing it was this one of those Asian stories. And, you know, I'm going to share it with y'all. So it was a guy, a rich guy with four wives, and he loved his wives, and it was time for him to die, and so he got to thinking about all the time he had spent with his wives, and he didn't want to be alone. He didn't want to go to the afterlife by himself, so he asked his wives, would they die with him, would they go with him, basically. So he asked his fourth wife, said, I love you, and he loved his fourth wife a lot. He said, I love you. I don't want to be alone in the afterlife. Would you go with me? And the fourth wife said, no, I can't go with you. I'm not going to go with you. And he was a little sad about it. So he went to his third wife, and he asked his third wife, who he always gave a lot to. This is the one he spoiled a lot. So, you know, I gave you all this stuff. Will you, when I die, I don't want to be alone in the afterlife. Will you go with me? She said, no, I'm not going to go with you. And on top of that, when you die, I'm going to get remarried. So he went to his second wife. And his second wife was, he loved to. He said, you know, I love you. I don't want to go in this afterlife by myself. Will you go with me? She said, no, but the most I can do is bury you. I'll do that for you. So then he went to his first wife, who was there from the beginning, but he forgot all about her because he was loving the other three so much. And she said, I'll go with you, and you'll never have to be alone. So the moral of the story is the point, the wives pointed to different things. So the fourth wife, the one who said, I wouldn't go with you, that was your body, your physical body, that you put so much time and you spend time with. But at the end, it doesn't cross over with you as what Yahel was just talking about. The third wife was your possessions. So you go out and you acquire all these possessions, and they're yours while you're alive. But when you die, they go to somebody else. That's why she said, when you die, I'm going to get remarried. I'm going to belong to somebody else. He said the second wife was your friends, because while you're here, y'all happy, y'all having fun, but your friends can't cross over into the afterlife with you. The most they can do is bury you. And so that's what the second wife did. But that first wife was your soul. And that's what's crossing over and going to be with you forever. But unfortunately, a lot of times that's what we neglect. Amen. Because that first wife was the one he was neglecting, because he was loving the other three so much. We get caught up in this world, and we get caught up in us, that a lot of times we forget about us, you know? So Abba had me thinking about that, and I called out Monday, and I did something real simple. I cleaned my room, and I felt so good after I cleaned my room. I got rid of all this junk and all this stuff that I didn't need anymore. And I felt good because I was actually doing something for me, you know, something as simple as that. I didn't get the chance to do everything that I wanted because I didn't cut my hair, but I was just happy to do something for me, just take some me time. And, you know, you sit back and you think about that stuff, and you don't know that that's actually a biblical principle. And we're told to self-reflect on us in the Word. You know, he says, examine yourself. Amen. So that's what we have to do. That's, we take time to look at you. And let's look at that. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 13 at verse 5. Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It reads, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Yahushua HaMashiach is in you, except ye be reprobates? I'm going to read it in another translation. So, in this translation, it's the ISV. It says, keep examining yourselves to see whether you are continuing in the faith. Test yourselves. You know, don't you, that Yahushua the Messiah lives in you. Could it be that you are failing the test? So, when we go on about our business and we're learning different things, and we're walking this walk, we have to constantly look to see if our lives are lining up with this word. And it has to be a constant thing. It shouldn't be any time where we're going to go to the left and to the right. But when we go to the left or when we go to the right, and we feel as though we're out of whack, we're out of balance, we have to get back in line with the word. We have to constantly test ourselves. Because a lot of people out here believe things, and they believe that they're in the word, but they're way off. You know, my brother was just letting me hear a CD on the way over here. And this guy was talking, mixing the Bible with Egyptology and with and mysticism, all kinds of crap. But he believes that this is true. He believes that white people just appeared 20,000 years ago. He believes all these different things that he raps about or was rapping about. And there was little pieces of truth in there, sprinkled, but it wasn't the truth. It was just fragments of truth, you know, but he believes it. And he didn't test himself, or he doesn't have a litmus test. You know, he has nothing to line up, because everything for him is truth, you know. So if somebody wrote it, you know, it has to be true because this guy wrote it. You know, these guys, these people put their time and their effort into it, and they wrote it. So it has to be true, and I'm going to accept it. It can't be like that with us. Our lives have to match up with what Yahweh says is true. You know, so first and foremost, we have to decide what is truth for us. You know, what is the truth for us? And if you say this is truth, then that means everything else outside of this is false. And if they say, well, because I have a friend of mine, he always, he chides me a little bit. He said, man, what, you going to service? You going to church on Saturday? I said, yeah. You believe in the Bible? Yeah. You know it's full of lies? I said, okay. It's full of lies, man. I said, all right. You know, the first time he got me, I kind of got into it. What you mean? You know, but I know that he does that to try to get me now. So I said, okay, if you say it's full of lies, no problem. You don't have to believe it. That's you can accept. Paul said this. Everything is permissible, but everything ain't beneficial. So if you don't want to believe that this is the truth, no problem. I mean, you ain't going to get no benefit out of it. You're not going to get the benefits of living hereafter because you don't believe. There's a benefit in this. There is something greater that we're working for, you know, in this. So if you don't want to believe, no problem. That's your choice. I can't make you believe. That's up to you to believe. But as for me, I believe it. And that's why I do and strive to do what he says to do, you know, to the best of our ability. But we have to constantly see if we're on that path. So okay. In the book of Psalms, chapter 26. Starting at verse 1. It reads, a psalm of David. Judge me, O Yahweh, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in Yahweh, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Yahweh, improve me, try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. So, as we're walking, we're asking Yahweh to try us, because that's who has to keep us on the path. He says, lean not to your own understanding. Direct all your ways to the Most High, and he will guide you. He's going to keep you on that path. So we ask the Most High, try us. Keep us in the path. Keep us on the road, and we trust that we are walking the right way, because that's another thing. If you don't believe that you're walking the right way, you messed up from the jump. Faith plays such an important part. The same way the guy, like I referenced earlier, he believes what he's spitting is the truth. So he puts it out there like it's the truth. It ain't the truth, but he believes it's the truth. But we have to believe the same way that he believes that's the truth. We have to believe Yahweh is going to direct our paths, and he's going to try us. And when we go to the left or to the right, he's going up, get back over here. It's going might come in the form of a little push like this. It might come in the form of a slap. It might come in the form of a wind or whatever. But he's going to direct us and get us back on that path. And it's all in his loving kindness. You know, he says, your loving kindness, your mercy is always before my eyes. So when we're going through hard times, and we're going to go through hard times because it's a test. You know, whenever you study for a test in school, it's designed to challenge you. It's not designed for you to just have a cakewalk, because if you just having a cakewalk, you're not growing any stronger, you're not really learning, and you're not living up to your full potential. So it's designed to challenge you, you know. I had an old math teacher, Mr. Kroc, and he's the guy who really got me, learned me a whole lot in algebra. I thought I knew some stuff, but he was the guy who knew the formulas for shortcuts, the quote-unquote shortcuts in algebra. So what he would do is, I already knew the long way because I took algebra in middle school. So I knew the long way. But this dude could actually look at the problem and without any work tell you the answer because he knew the shortcuts. So he would teach us the long way and then show us the shortcuts. And everybody would get pissed off like, oh, man, why you ain't just cut? But if you don't know how to get it, you know, if you don't know how to put the work in and you're just looking for the shortcut, what benefit is it for you to just look at it, oh, and this is what you do? Boom. Yeah, you got the answer, but you don't know how you got the answer. You know, it's important to know every step, you know. And as humans, we want to go A to Z. We don't want to go A, B, C, D. We want A, Z. Microwave. You know, 35 seconds, I got a meal. Nobody uses a stove anymore. Everything is microwave. You know, where it used to take rice like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Now they done parboiled rice where you can, this like 3-minute rice, you can, it's already steamed. You steam in a bag and this. Anything to make stuff easier and more convenient where you don't have to put work in, you know. But the Most High wants us to put work in because he wants a benefit out of us, you know. It's benefits in actually putting the work in and knowing how, you know. any questions or comments so far? All right. Hebrews chapter 11. Starting at verse 1. And it reads, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. That's what we want. We're being... for lack of a better term, graded on what we do down here. A report is being set up to the Most High. Okay, he stumbled here, but he got back on path. Whoop, this you stumbled and stayed off path. Everything that we do is being recorded and reported.
Hallelujah.
So when the elders did things by faith, Abraham, that's all he believed. Abraham, you're going to get a son. I'm going to come back and I'm going to visit you. You're going to get a son. Okay. Hey, Yahweh, I'm going to bother you about this son. I know it's coming. You're going to visit me one day, and I'm going to have a son. And he waited and waited and waited and waited. 25 years later, he got a son, you know. And nobody could take that away to the point where, and, you know, and we know the story. It came at a time when Sarah was unable to do it naturally. You know, the words say that she went through menopause. She didn't have that period anymore. You know, she was past that age. So he had to make sure, okay, I'm going to make sure this woman good and burn, you know, before I give him a son. That way, ain't no way he could say, well, got one in there. Mm-mm. I'm going to make sure Sarah's beyond this point, you know. And so what happened? He got what he was looking for, counted as righteousness, you know. Even to the point Sarah laughed when she heard it. What's she laughing about? Oh, let me go find out, because he believed Yahweh. She laughed in her mind. She didn't laugh out loud. She laughed in her mind. And Abraham went to check her because Yahweh said that woman's laughing. That's how much faith he had in the Most High.
Amen.
You know? So that's the type of report that we want, you know? We want to be what he's called the friend of the Most High. We want that type of report. And we can't have that type of report if we believe, if we're not checking ourselves constantly, you know. We can't have that if we believe we're on the path and we didn't divert it. And there's no check, there's no balance, there's no nothing. And we're way off the path, but we think we're doing right, you know. Because we're creatures of habit. And we get into routines. And sometimes our routine will take us far away from the Most High, because we could do things the same, but eventually that little same comes, it goes off just a little, and then goes off just a little more, and then goes off just a little more, then goes off just a little more. And by the time you figure it out, you way off. By the time you made that check, like, wait a minute, I used to do it this way, and now I'm doing it this way. Wait a minute, I got to get back to this. You know, but we have to constantly examine ourselves so we can get this report that the elders got. Right? Any questions or comments? In Deuteronomy chapter 11. Starting at verse 26, it reads, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yahweh, your mighty one, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yahweh, your mighty one, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known." So, a blessing is coming when we obey. A curse is coming when we don't obey. So, when stuff is befalling you and you don't know why, check it. You might be in that little curse section that you don't want to be in. You know, it's good to look over. It's good to look over yourself and find exactly what's going wrong, you know. He says, I'm looking for this virgin wife who don't have no spots and no blemishes. So as you're looking in that mirror, you say, all right, looking. You want to make sure that you're presentable to the Most High. So when he sees you, he can't say, speck right there, you missed that spot. Let's get it on. Can't marry you yet. You still got a spot right there. All right, let me come back. I'm going to come back a little bit later. Clean yourself up. Come back a little bit later. Because he's given us a chance to clean ourselves up. You know, I'm not leaving you. I'm not forsaking you. What I'm doing is I'm giving you a chance to clean yourself up. Why? My loving kindness is always before you. I could just call the wedding off. because you're not cleaning yourself up, but I'm not going to do that because I love you and I want you to be in my life. You know, think about that as a husband and a wife. What man who wants to marry a woman, you've been with this woman and committed yourself to this woman, and you're not going to marry her because she got a wrinkle in her blouse, or she got a little, it's your wedding day and it's a speck right here. Brush that speck off, girl. Got you. I'll be back. You know, women take a long time to get dressed anyway. Sometimes the men do too. You know. But that's the time that you use to clean yourself up, you know, to make yourself presentable for him. You see, because you want that day to be perfect. You know, that's going to be a memorable day. That's the day that you, that I still remember the day I got married. You know, I wish I looked better. But I looked okay. But I wish I looked better. And, you know, me and Danielle was happy. You see, I was in a little picture smiling and everything. We was all nice and all that. You remember that day. That's a that is a memorial to you. That's something that you don't forget, you know. And that's how it's going to be with Mashiach. He wants us to remember this day. Remember this day that I took you. And remember this day that you came on to me, you know. So I want this day to be perfect. I don't want nothing to be missing out of this day. But in order for nothing to be missing out this day, we got to check ourselves. We got to look and see if something is missing. We got to look and see if that ring is with my crown all crooked, or if my earring missing, or whatever. You know, we have to examine ourselves, and we have to get back to the point where we know. Because he says in one section, come boldly before the throne. So if you're going to come boldly before something, that's somebody who knows exactly where they stand. I don't have to worry about nobody looking down on me. I don't have to worry about anything. I'm just coming in here. Father, I'm coming in still humble, but you bold in knowing that your petition is going to be heard, you know, because you can't usurp the authority of the king. You still have to show that humility. You still have to show that honor and respect when you go before the throne. But you don't have to be afraid. I want somebody who understands that, look, when you come into me, ask of me whatever it is. When Yahushua said that, ask the Father whatever it is you want in my name. You're going to have it. That's it. That's all you got to do is don't doubt. And it's coming. He wants people like that who will sit there and, Father, I want da-da-da-da-da. As long as you don't ask amiss for the wrong reasons, da-da-da-da-da, it's coming. I need my family to understand and know and trust that this is coming. But if we're not checking ourselves, double-minded man can't expect anything from Yahweh. That's what he says. He said he's unstable in all his ways, and this type of man shouldn't expect nothing from the Most High, because you're going back and forth. I'm going to get it. I'm not going to get it. I might get it. Maybe I'm going to get it. You might bless me. Maybe not. Maybe it's because you're doing something, or maybe it's you feel as though you're doing something, and you're out the will of the Father. You know? You wavering back and forth. You're out the will of the Father right there. If you are not steady, faithful, you already out of the will of the Father, you know, without even doing nothing else, because he wants you to be faithful in him and know that he's going to keep his promises. So when you go back and forth, start over, you know, just start over. As soon as you doubt, as soon as you go, well, it might start over, because now you're out of the will. And check yourself, you know, strengthen yourself. And if you can't strengthen yourself, call a brother, call a sister. That's what they're there for, to help strengthen you, you know. So in Jeremiah chapter 26, starting at verse 4. And it reads, "And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh, if ye will not hearken to me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth." So this is when he was talking, sending them down to Babylon. But the issue is, you're not listening to the words of the prophets. You're not. That's the issue that he had. I set this law before you. I raised my prophets up to tell you where you're at. You're not in my way. The prophets are telling you that. So guess what? Since you're not listening, a curse is coming upon you. When you don't listen to leadership, a curse comes upon you. When the brother's getting up here and they're telling you something, and the word, and you're reading it out of the word, they're not saying nothing that Yahweh ain't say, because he set his way. He set it. It's set. The same way he set that sun and that moon up in the stars, up sun, moon, stars up in the sky, he set his path. It's set. It's a path that he put in, and he's not moving it. This is the direction. Listen to my prophets. They're going to tell you. So the same way that sun comes up every day, it rises in the east, sets in the west. Every day, the same way is his path. And when the brothers are telling you something and you don't listen, and this goes for all of us, even the brothers that's sitting on this front row, listen to the brother that's up here. And they're telling you something, you're not listening, guess what? Yahweh is not pleased with that. That's a bad mark on your report. That's that red mark, as the teachers give. You know, that's not a good thing. Because he puts his word, we read it last week. Moses, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'm going to be with your mouth. I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you what to say. You say it. That's all you got to do, you know. And so when the brothers are telling you something, you listen and obey. And a blessing comes because of that. When you don't obey, a curse comes because of that. Right? Any questions or comments? And it's okay if you don't understand something, ask. You know, if you don't, even if you don't agree with something, because there was plenty of, it's times when you don't agree. That's the truth of the matter. It's times when you don't understand. It's time, but that don't mean that, okay, now I don't agree. So this, you throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know, so whatever he's saying, he's a false prophet, he's this, that, and another, because you don't agree or you don't understand. No, it's not like that. It's been plenty of times I've been sat in that chair right there and didn't understand something. But after a while, and you keep going, and you keep walking with them, you will understand. You know, you will understand. You have to let Yahweh direct your paths. You have to. He's going to bring that understanding. If you don't ask, that's your fault. You know, it's your fault you're not asking. It's your fault you're not understanding. You know, that's the problem. If you don't understand, what do you say? Any man who don't know something, let him ask Yahweh. Let him ask me. I got the answer. If I put the word in this man's mouth, it's my word. Ask me about the word that I put in his mouth. Please. You know, I'm also, I mean, it's like he's begging us. You know, when he says his loving kindness is before us, it's like he's saying, stay on this path, please. Come, no, don't go to that, please. Just say, come, please. It's like he's literally begging us to do what he says. Literally. I set before you this day life and death. Please choose life. Pretty please. Don't choose death. I'm going to give you whichever one you want. Whichever one you ask for, I'm going to give you. But pretty please choose life. No, don't touch the death. Don't mess with the life. Life. It's like he's literally begging us. Well, what did we do? The opposite. It's always the opposite. No, I want the death. It's like, oh, let's make a deal. You get zonked every time. You want the curtain or the box? You got $3 billion behind this curtain, and there's a zonk behind this box. Which one do you want? I want the box. Give me the box. It can't be. It got to be. It's got to be more than a zonk. You know? That's how we are as humans. That's how we are. You know? How many times has you as a kid disobeyed your mother, disobeyed your father just to find out they were right and you should have listened and you should have, dang, daddy knew what he was talking about. Dang, mommy was right again. And then you go out and do the exact same thing over again and should have listened. And I don't know how many times I told my mother that. I should have listened. You was right. You were right. That's how it is. Now, he ain't wrong. He ain't wrong. How many times we going to say, Father, I should have listened. Now you're feeling some type of way. I should have listened. You know, I know you told me to do this. I should have. Look at the... And I'm laughing. But it ain't funny. But I'm thinking about King Saul. All King Saul had to do was what Yahweh said, and he would not have lost his kingdom.
Amen.
Look at his life after he disobeyed.
Amen.
You know, he went from slaying every witch and every enchanter to going to consulting with him.
Amen.
All because of him disobeying. He took his hand and he put his hand out and he ripped Samuel's mantle, and Samuel talked, hey, the same way you ripped my mantle, that's how the kingdom going to get ripped from your hands. And he was not right ever since. All because he didn't listen. The prophet told him to do something. No, I think I want to do it this way. I'm going to give some honor to you by sacrificing all this. Look at this. Look at this nice. Oh, my goodness. Boy, you're going to look good on that altar. Boy, Yahweh, you're going to really enjoy this one. I get no pleasure out of that. Don't do it. Father, I'm going to sacrifice this one up to you. You're going to love this one. I don't like it, son. Don't do that. Kill it. Don't bring it to me. Don't bring it to me. All right, come on. Load him up, round him up, and bring him to Yahweh. And he was never the same after that. Because he wouldn't listen. And that is the history of Israel in a nutshell. We don't listen.
Amen.
You know? And we never check ourselves, too. Even from this time, you know, they didn't listen to the prophet then. When Yahushua walked, they didn't listen to him.
Amen.
They didn't. He was telling him, man, he was cutting them dudes down. Because they won't. You don't understand the scriptures nor the power thereof. All right. Y'all go on now. And every time they tried to trip him up, he would answer them. There's your answer. Y'all go on now. To the point where it got to one point, he said, okay, fine. Y'all didn't ask me 10,000 questions. Let's just go ahead and end this. I'm going to ask you this one thing. Whose son am I? What did he say? he asked him that question about David.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if David is Yahweh's son, what did he say? How can David call him? Say it again.
If the Messiah is going to be David's son.
How he call him master? How did he call him master? If the Messiah is the son of David, how did he call him master in the spirit? And dude, they was like, well, dang. How did he do that? And from that day, they dared not ask him anything else. That's what the word said. Because I'm going to put an end to all this foolishness. Y'all ain't listening no way. So let me just shut y'all up. Don't ask me nothing else no more. Because you asking me questions, trying to trip me up, and I'm the word itself, is not benefiting you anyway. What do you tell them? You're not getting in, and you're stopping others by getting in. This is a tactic even when they was doing, because people looked at the Pharisees and the Sadducees in a certain way. He said, y'all got Moses' feet, so y'all have some type of honor, there, and people are looking at them, and Yahushua just cutting them down. So you're not getting in, and you're stopping other people from getting in. So let me get them keys. Here you go. God who believes in me, we're going to start something. Because these dudes ain't getting it, and they're not checking themselves. You would think after all the little councils and the little secret meetings that they had about them, Nicodemus saying, yo, we know you are sent from the Most High. We know that because, you know, we've been talking, scaring us. You know, you are scaring us. So you would think after a while they would come up with something and, like, maybe we ought to listen. If we know he's the guy sent from the Most High, we know for a fact, maybe we ought to listen to him. We're just going to keep on asking him questions till he shuts us down. Hard head, not listening. But that's the history of Israel. Any questions or comments so far? In Revelation chapter 3. Verse 15. He says, I know thy works. Let's start at 14, because he's talking to this church. He says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of Elohim. I know thy works, and that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So, Yahweh wants somebody who's all for him, all against him. He gives two in the parable. He says, Saul went to sow some seeds. He sold out some good seed. The enemy came. He sowed some seeds. It was grew up wheat and tares, two. It wasn't nothing in between. The wheat was for the Most High. They got gathered into the barn. The tares were against the Most High. They got gathered into the fire. So that's where you stand. That's how the Most High sees it. Either you're for me or you're against me. There's no straddling the fence. Eliyah said, look, if Yahweh be mighty one, follow him. If Baal be mighty one, follow them. Wasn't no in between. He didn't say follow both. Follow one or follow the other. And that's how he wants his people. Follow me, be all in with me. Or you're not, because that's the option. If you're not all in with Yahweh, then you're automatically not, you know. And there's no in between with that, you know. So we have to check. We have to constantly examine ourselves, see if we are in the faith of Yahweh, see where we stand with the Most High. So we won't get spewed out of his mouth for being lukewarm. You know, I don't like him. A guy gave me a nice illustration. When you go to eat, there's a spot for hot food. There's a spot for cold food. There's no spot for lukewarm food. Amen. It's the truth, though. You know, and it's crazy for me dealing with food. Food has to stay at a certain temperature. When it's hot, it has to stay at least 135 degrees. If it's cold, it has to stay below 41 degrees. Anywhere in between there, bacteria grows. anything that's lukewarm could be poisonous to your health.
Hallelujah.
And that's just with, that's in this natural world,
yeah.
You know. But that's how, that's that zone. They call it the red zone, you know. We don't want to be in that zone. We want to be all in, you know, where the food stays hot and where nutritious and all the nutrients and, you know, all that stuff is there. It stays cold, the nutrition, the nutrients. This is just for y'all. It just had a romaine lettuce recall. So don't eat no romaine lettuce. Did that yesterday. I had to pull all the romaine while I was at work. That's real talk. I'm not talking. That's not in the lesson. That's real talk. Don't eat no romaine right now.
Was it all or was
it all? Yeah, all. Mhm. All romaine. Yeah, because I had to yank it off the shelf yesterday. So yeah. So but back to this. We have to stay in that zone. We have to be all in with the Most High. You know, because we don't want to be on that other end, right? We don't want to be on the end that gets wrapped up, thrown into the fire, thrown in the outer darkness, weeping and gnashing the teeth, and all that stuff. We don't want that. That don't sound good. It don't even sound good, you know? So let's look at one of the prophets in 1 Kings chapter 19. And we spoke on little Bill Elliott earlier. And this is one of the times he had to self-reflect, you know, because he just had the battle of Mount Carmel. He was on the high. And now, we know the story. Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill you." He got scared, and he ran. And, you know, that's what a man would do. You know, I ran the other night. They were actually shooting up on the bus stop. And it was, I ran. Brother could move. Feel like moving. It must have been like 28 shots. I ran down the street, and I'm sitting up there like, I'm going to bus hurry up. Oh, got to get back up to this bus stop. I went back up to the bus stop. The bus came. Everything good. I've upset it. So it's not a, I'm happy, but somebody else might not be. I didn't see anything. I don't watch the news, but I didn't hear anything. But, you know, you get scared when somebody threatens your life. You know, that's a natural reaction, right? So in 1 Kings chapter 19, starting at verse 1, it reads, "And Ahab told Jezebel, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by the morrow this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might, and said, It is enough. Now, O Yahweh, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." So he did this great thing in battling the prophets. The God, Jezebel puts a bounty out on him, basically. And now it's to the point, Abba, take my life. I don't want to die by her hand. You take my life. He's feeling some type of way right now. Verse 5, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of Yahweh came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of Elohim. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Eliab? So now he's in this cave, and Abba is communing with this man. He want to know where you're headed at. What's going on with you, Eliab? You're my servant. And he asked him that question to make him reflect on what's going on with himself.
Amen.
So the Most High is strengthening his servant. You know, he asked him this question because he wants, Eliab, you're my servant. You've done a wonderful thing. Maybe you're out of the will right now because you're not trusting in me. Just maybe. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you this question. Where you head at? What you thinking? What you doing, Eliab? And now his response is verse 10. He said, and he said, I have been very jealous for Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I did everything for it. Israel don't love you. They've thrown your altars down. Any prophet that spoke in your name, they killed. And now Jezebel's after me. I'm the only one left. I'm feeling some type of way, Father. That's what's going on with me. I'm scared. I don't want to die. So Eliab is in a state right now. Let's keep on reading. He says, verse 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before Yahweh. And behold, Yahweh passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before Yahweh. But Yahweh was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But Yahweh was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But Yahweh was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Eliab heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what dost thou hear, Eliab? So Abba displayed his power for him. If you need me to, I can blow up a mountain. If you need me to, I can make the earth shake. If you need me to, I can cause a fire. But you know all I need from you? That's it. He don't have to display his power to us.
Amen.
All he asked of us from the beginning, obey my voice. That's it. If we have faith in the Most High, we shouldn't need, even though the heavens are going to depart like a scroll, they're going to roll back like a scroll for everybody to see, I don't need Abba to rain manna for me no more. I want to have the faith to know that when it's time, it's time. You know, if Abba needs to provide manna for us, he's going to provide manna for us. Father, I don't need you to drop no manna from heaven right now, you know, to prove to me that you're here. But you provided that manna for them so they can eat. You provide, that's the purpose of the manna. The manna was for them to survive. So when it comes time for me to survive, you got me.
Amen.
You know? What do you say? Paul wrote something. Hold your listening right there. He said, well, the Greeks look for a sign. And you know the verse I'm talking about? He says, Toda, yep, that's it. We're going to start at verse 21. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. He says, "For after that, in the wisdom of Elohim, the world by wisdom knew not Elohim. It pleased Elohim by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So Abba gave us, Abba showed forth his might in this world. Now, because man got smart, he don't believe in the Mighty One no more. So now I have to resort to preaching and telling you, having my servants tell you and preach to you, which is foolishness to me. It's foolish to God to have to tell this man about, tell this man to tell other people about him. That's foolishness to him, because man then got so smart that they even forgot about Yahweh, right? So he says, it's foolishness. He says, foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. So the Jews, what? They want the sun to go back 10 degrees like back in the day, like in the time of Hezekiah. Or they want the sun to stand still like in the, at the time of Joshua. You know, they want a sign. And the Greeks, they just want to philosophize everything. Oh, and with the sun standing still, so it's this time of year, so it might be the solstice, and this is in retrograde. this thing is in retrograde, so this star, and that's why this star appeared at that time, and they want to act like they know everything. But the Most High said, look, I'm doing this through my word, and that's all to it. If I want the sun to stand still, guess what? It obeys me. And so if I say stand still, it stays still until I tell it to move again. If I tell the sun to move backwards, it obeys me. So move backwards, and then you can move forward again. You know, that's what it is. And it takes faith to believe that, because we're not going to see that again. The word said that this happened, and there was never another day like it.
Amen.
When this happened, it was never another day like it. A flood happened. I'm not going to flood the world no more.
Amen.
It takes faith for you to believe that.
Amen.
Right? And he says, I'm preaching these things, and it's foolish for me to preach them, but you're going to be saved if you believe them. And you're going to be saved if you listen to the words that's coming out this prophet's mouth. It's foolishness to me. You ought to just believe it. But this is how I'm going to have to save you. Through the foolishness of preaching. For me dumbing this down. You know? But that's what people look for. They look for signs. They look for wonders. They look for the philosophies and this, that, and another. And it's really not needed. All you need is faith. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for someone to believe him. Blessed is the men who walked and saw Yahushua, but even more blessed is the people who believed and wasn't there. That's what he said. That's the blessed people, you know. Somebody wrote, we have a more sure testimony, because they were there. They don't have to hear about the things that were spoken. They lived it. But with us, we believe it and we weren't there. So blessed are you who believe and weren't there. You know, our reward is not greater in the sense that we're going to get more, but it takes greater faith because we weren't there. We're not eyewitnesses, you know, because everybody's going to get the same thing. We're going to get that eternal life. That's what we're striving for. Everybody's reward is the same, but our faith, it has to be greater. We weren't there. You know, how much faith did it take when Yahweh was revealing to Moses all this stuff about his people, all the way back to Adam, and he's penning it. He's writing it down. And he believed it.
Amen.
You know, he's writing it down, and he's penning it. He didn't know Adam. He didn't know Abel. He didn't know none of these people.
Amen.
He got a whole genealogy of people. And he pinned it down and he wrote it, not knowing these folks.
Amen.
And it was the truth because he believed Yahweh. You know, it takes faith to do that. You know, that's not something that you just, that's just happenstance. That takes faith. You know? So, back to Eliah, back to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 13. And it was so, when Eliah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Eliah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, because of the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and have slain thy prophets with the sword. And I am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And Yahweh said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Meolah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapes the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him." So, Eliah, I understand what you're saying. You're tired. Now, I need you to go anoint these people. You know, you're going to anoint your successor and all that. But understand this. You're not alone. You're not alone. I understand that you shook and everything. You called. You're listening to me again. You know, I got you back to the person I need you to be. You know, because he saw the mountain blow up. He saw the earthquake. He saw the fire. And then he heard that voice of the Most High. What did he do? Wrapped his mantle. You know? Why did he wrap his mantle around his face? Why did he veil, basically? He was ashamed. He was ashamed of that, man. He was... My daughter, when she was younger, I only had to beat her really good, like, one time. But she was the type of girl who didn't want to bring me no shame. You know, if she even thought that I was angry with her, she'd just bust out crying. If she even thought that I was, like, ashamed of her. It's sort of like that now. But now she don't cry. She lashes out. She's a little bit older. But if she even thought that I was displeased with her, she would cry when she was younger. You don't want to bring any shame to your parents as a child. You don't. You know, and as a prophet, you don't want to bring any shame to Yahweh. You know, to think that you're out in the world, to think that you're, you know, that's a feeling. To think that you're, or even feel like you let Yahweh down. You know, because he do so much for you. You know, when he, like I said last week, man, when he gave you that word, that's a high. It's like you can't describe the feeling you get when you know Abba is dealing with you beyond the shadow of a doubt. When your faith is up here, you know, it's like it's the ultimate. And you go up there and you do what you got to do, and you know Abba put this word, and and then you might do something wrong, and you did something, and it's like, dang, let my father down. I got to get back on point. You know? But that's how it is. And, you know, when you're looking at a person like Eliah, who just in the previous chapter made fun of those dudes who broke the altar and did all this stuff and let them go, and then he prayed And Yahweh answered by fire for him. You know, now he's feeling some type of way. He's experienced the high, now he's on the low. So Abba had to get him back to being Eliyah. I need you to get your mind back right. I know you shook, but I'm here for you. I'm not going to leave you, not going to forsake you. You know, but I need you to get back in the game, man. Please, get back in the game. We got a job to do. You know, you didn't have your break. Because you do need a break sometimes. Because that's what Eliyah asked. He wanted a permanent break. He was like, just go and kill me. I'm done with it. But, nah, you got work to do, Eliyah. So, get your mind right. Good? You hearing me again? All right, go anoint these kings. And let's get you a little bit of help. All right? So, any questions or comments so far? All right. Last look at it. This is in the book of Luke, chapter 22. We're going to start at verse 39. And it reads, Luke chapter 22, verse 39, and it reads, and when he came out and went, as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So we all know what's going on. This is when Yahushua is about to be offered up. He told his disciples, pray that you don't enter temptation. And he went a little way over to pray so he can commune with his Father and ask Abba to remove this cup from him, because he's been through a lot and he don't want to go through what he's about to go through.
Amen.
So, Father, if it's your will, remove this cup from me, but only if it's your will. After that, an angel came and strengthened him. So, the fact that that happened, we know Yahushua was in a weakened state.
Amen.
He was to the point where he was at a breaking point, much like with Eliyah. He was at a breaking point.
Hallelujah.
The first thing that breaks is your mind. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever you think you can't do something, the battle already over, you can't do it. You know, you have to be strengthened mentally first. Before you become strengthened physically, you have to develop a strong mental first. Then you'll be able to bear stuff and overcome things, because your mental fortitude will get you through stuff. You know, when you have a strong mind, you can get through a lot of these pressures and that life brings you. Because most of the pressures that come on you is a mental state. It's in your mind. So he says, the angel came and strengthened him. Verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were as if it was great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So he was a mental wreck at this time. You know, he was going through it. He was in anguish. You know, to the point where his sweat was like blood. You know, he say he was praying more earnestly. So he was being strengthened. He's combating it. He was like, okay, man, I really don't want the Father. And you know, he was praying to his Father and communicating with his Father like never before.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Verse 45. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he was called Judas, one of the 12, that went back, that went before them, and drew near unto Yahushua to kiss him. But Yahushua said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Think about that. The man comes to show, because a kiss shows that you love a person, but you're betraying me with this. Think of his mental state. He already prayed to the point where his sweat is blood, and now he's coming, and one of his disciples, he already knew it, but you betraying me with a kiss? Are you serious, bro? How are you going to do this to me? I'm here to save your life, but you're betraying me with a kiss. Do you understand, like, I can heal people all day. I need a break. I can't even get a break. Every time I step away, the people come and find me. I need a break. I'm going to have to go onto this island. He goes into an island. They found him on the island. I need a break. I just need to step away. I just need a couple of minutes for myself to strengthen myself. Can I get, no? 5,000 people want some fish? No? Okay. Let's feed these people, get them up out of here, because they really don't want to hear my words. They're just hungry. So let's go on and feed the ones that's hungry, get them up out of here. All right, I need a break. I'm going to go on this boat. Let me go on this boat. I finally get some sleep. Master, master. What's up? The winds. Peace be still. He just needed a break. And so now, it's the time of him coming up, and he steps away to pray. He's in agony. He's in pain. And now one of his 12 is coming to betray him with a kiss to show that I love you. I love you, Master. Can you imagine what he's going through right now? He probably wanted to knock the crap out of him. He was probably just going to take his soul from him right then and there. But he couldn't. You know, you're betraying me with a kiss. So, verse 49. When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Master, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Yahushua answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. And Yahushua said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staffs? When I was the... And still, think about his mental state. He's doing it. Because you want to talk about a dude getting done greasy? They did this man greasier than anybody on the face of this planet. He's holding all this stuff against him. Now, listen to what he says. Come ye out against me as against a thief with swords and staffs. Why y'all coming at me like this? Mm-hmm. Like I did something wrong. Right? He said, when I was daily with thee in the temple, I'm with you every day. I did nothing wrong. Y'all done tried to kill me. Y'all tried to stone me and all kinds of stuff. I'm with you daily. Now you got swords and staffs. While I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. Mm-hmm. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. I understand. This is what y'all are supposed to do. Even though I was with y'all, y'all could have snatched me up in the temple anytime y'all wanted. Because I'm in there teaching. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But this is y'all time. This is the power of darkness. This is y'all hour. I understand all that. I submit to my Father's will. But it still ain't right. You know, this is not right how they went about this. This wasn't right. You know? And I got to give my life up for y'all to do me like this? Amen. To save y'all? Really? Verse 54. Then took ye him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Okay, let's jump down to verse 63. Because we know what happened with Peter. The cop, he denied them three times, and the cock crowed. So verse 63, he says, And the men that held Yahushua mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? All day you had to do this, and now you're treating me like this. You're doing this. And I am praying, Father, forgive them. The whole time, God, forgive them. Anybody who needed a break was Yahushua. He never got a break. Never got some me time. Never. So he says, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things, blasphemy, spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him to their council, saying, art thou the Mashiach? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, you ain't going to believe me. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of Elohim, of power of Yah. So you're asking me this question for no reason. Told you, if I tell you I'm the Messiah, you ain't going to believe me. If I ask y'all, am I the Messiah? You ain't going to answer me. But that's okay, because my Father's will is going to be done.
Amen.
Boldness, you know. He knew beyond the shadow of a doubt everything he said, even when he raised Lazarus. Father, I know you hear me. I'm doing this for them. But raise Lazarus up. I know the relationship me and you got. You hear me all the time. So right here, he's telling them, hey, it don't make a difference what y'all asking me. That after this, I'm sitting down at my Father's side, you know. Honestly, it just became a little too much for him, the way they was treating him. Can you imagine your creation treating you like that? You have the ability to wipe out humanity. You have that ability to wipe out humanity. It was Yahushua who told Moses, step away from Israel, I'm going to kill them all, and start over with you. So he has that ability to wipe out humanity.
Amen.
And they smacking him, mocking him, and doing him like, can you imagine what he thinks, how he feels, how he felt at that time, you know? But it's a good thing that he loves us, and his loving kindness is forever before our face. Because we don't deserve it. We really don't. That's the state of Israel. Last verse. He said, then said they all, art thou the son of Yah? And he said unto him, ye say that I am. And so that's the end of the Torah portion, y'all. I hope everybody gets a chance to just take some time off for yourself and really look and see and examine where you stand with the Most High,
Amen.
Where you stand with you, and really take some time and do something for you. Because I'll tell you, it felt good to do something for myself. Like, it really did. You know, I got to do that more often. Maybe
Amen.
Not call out, but, like, really take some time and just, for me, and just chill. Just chill and do something for me. But any questions or comments about anything? Mm-hmm. All right. Cocoon. Brother Yahya, would you mind closing us out, please?
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, for the message that you sent out today to our brother AOL. May we take a heart, open our ears, and lead God our feet, and work our hands to reflect. As we approach, as we begin this new year, may we do more self-reflecting throughout the course of this year and measuring ourselves up with our brother. Judging ourselves so that we not be judged by you. Father, we thank thee for all you've done for us thus far. We ask of thee to continue to open our hearts and open our minds, continue to receive thy word. We thank thee for thy son, Yahushua.
Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations. Trustworthy, mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Now one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Matovu, Matovu. Matovu, Matovu. Oh, hi.